What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
All right, everybody. This is the Hunting Gear Podcast, and I'm your host, Dan Johnson. First off, I want to apologize to some of the faithful listeners here. I kind of dropped the ball the last couple months getting guests. This time of year, it seems, obviously, everybody wants to be out in the woods hunting and nobody wants to podcast. Even the people who are in the positions of it's their job to promote their companies. The hunting industry is weird, dude. Jason, yeah. You know this a little bit. Yeah. Like trying to promote your product at the time when you should be promoting your product the most, there's a lot of companies where their marketing team is very hard to get a hold of and or wants to be out hunting and they don't want to do stuff like this. Yeah. And so is what it is. And I had a lot of people cancel last minute. And I also, as a professional, dropped the ball and was out in the woods instead of doing a little work, but that's what we do, right? So
yeah.
For those of you guys who don't know, Jason is a co-host with me on the How to Hunt Deer podcast that we do every week, and that launches on Wednesdays on the Sportsman's Empire podcast network. And welcome to the Hunting Gear Podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right. We talked about, basically, I want to have a very small conversation with you about something that happened recently and then kind of get into today, like transition it into today's episode. But dude, this morning at 6:30 or 6:45, I'd have to go and check. Might even been 7 o'clock. Giant shows up on trail camera.
Okay.
An absolute tank shows up on trail camera. And this is that time of year, especially if you guys are thinking it's over, it's not over. Yeah. Like there's still big bucks. And this third week going into a third week in November, even up until Thanksgiving, there is going to be a lot of deer moving, not as crazy, but more methodical just like constant movement. They may pop into your property for like what would you say, maybe 2-3 days and then split?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I had the same thing. You know, last Thursday I shot my buck, and then yesterday morning and this morning I had two different bucks come through on that same property. So it's like, you know, once one buck is taken off the landscape, you know, other deer are going to come in naturally. But then now this time of year, they're obviously still searching for those does. And I had this last night on another piece, this very old looking doe. I mean, she has to be 7-8 years old. She just has all the features of a really old doe come cruising past one of the scrapes, you know? So, I mean, there's still time left to fill a tag for sure. So,
yeah, it's just like, I love bow hunting. I got, you know, at some point I got to just get my shit together and buy a piece of land so I can get that Iowa landowner's tag so I can keep bow hunting basically. Yeah. So I don't know how that would fare with my family. But I gotta find a piece of ground to get a landowner's tag.
Yeah, it's weird here in Illinois. I mean, we're obviously allowed 2 bucks. That's our limit. And it doesn't matter if it's 2 with a bow or 2 with a gun or however, you know, just as long as you have the tags. I will tag out with both if I have the opportunity and time. But this year it's a little different. You know, I tagged a one, and now it's kind of like, unless something really, really special shows up, or unless I take my recurve, or I might go out Friday. It's Friday's opening gun season. I might go out in the afternoon Friday just to, you know, kind of old traditional shotgun hunt, you know, but I just personally don't, I'm a bow hunter. I mean, I don't get too amped up about it, but, and another thing too, to piggyback on with the deer here in Illinois, in a CWD county, if you have unfilled tags, I mean, you can basically shoot as many deer as you want. So if I walk into the late season during one of these CWD seasons, there's a potential I could shoot 4 bucks in the season.
So how's that work?
So if it's an unfilled tag during the CWD season, as long as it's a valid, you know, say shotgun tag, if I don't fill either one of my shotgun tags for the counties that they're good in, they can carry over into that CWD season. And since they want to, you know, basically eradicate deer because of it, there has been some changes. So, you know, they may have changed some of the laws on it, but in years past, I mean, I know guys that, you know, have done that. So.
Yeah, that's crazy, especially, you know, you get guys who really take advantage of that, and that older age class just struggles at that point.
Yeah.
Kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about gear. But before we get into today's topic of conversation, I want to send a shout out to our partners over at Reveal Trail Camera. Earlier this year, they launched the brand new Ultra. Do you use Reveal cameras?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So, you know, then, like just the ease of use to getting them set up. Do you remember the first cell cam you ever bought? And like, you basically had to have a college degree in physics in order to set it up.
Yeah.
So stupid. Yeah. Right. And so the technology that Reveal has brought to the table over the last handful of years is really cool. The ability to just put batteries in the camera, download the app, scan the QR code. I timed earlier this summer. Was it August? Yeah. I think I timed myself setting up one camera, and it was like, and that was from putting batteries in it to scanning the QR code and getting it set up was like 4 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yeah. It's like 4.5 minutes, I think. Yeah.
Yep. 4.5 minutes. Yeah. And so, just crazy, man. And it works. It's just like, I don't know what a lot of people are expecting from cellular trail cameras. For me, all I care is that it sends me a picture to my phone. That's all I care about. And that's exactly what this does. Now, there's a whole bunch of awesome technology with the Reveals that I don't necessarily use. I know they have great video, and they the software that they use on the app and the mapping capabilities, the GPS. The GPS thing is awesome. Someone steals your shit and puts it in their truck, you know exactly where that camera's at, which is cool. So a lot of really cool things going on with Reveal, especially the new Ultra. Go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out all of the Reveal options. All right. So
that's I can add a couple on Reveal there real quick. Customer service, hands down, has been amazing with what I've had to deal with a few of the cameras with batteries and stuff. Another thing is, I use the video option where you can get 50 videos for, I think it's $5. And the quality and everything of the videos is amazing. So there are a ton of other features that I haven't even dove into. But yeah, I really like them.
Absolutely. All right, cool. All right, let's talk gear, dude. And I want to start off with saddles, tree stands, and saddles and tree stands and sticks.
Okay.
Okay. And do you have any type of, you shot your first buck out of a saddle this year, right?
Yep. Yep.
First deer or first buck?
First deer.
First deer, period. Okay. Yep. What was that like with a bow? What was that like?
Well, I always was under the impression that it was going to be difficult to like navigate around the ropes and everything, you know, and how that was going to feel like on a platform or, you know, where I was going to be standing. But 3 years of being in a saddle, I guess I was picking and choosing, you know, and knowing where that perfect shot angle is and all that. I thought it was great. I've actually, I have a tethered saddle and I have their angled platform and I think I have some XOP sticks, you know, so I've kind of got a hodgepodge of stuff. And then I've got a, it's a seat or a knee pad that wraps around the tree. And I found a lot of comfort just in, I'll take it even in a, if I have a hang on stand or a ladder stand, I'll even take my saddle with just for, you know, a change of position or if the wind shifts. And so I've really liked it, but shooting the deer out of it, I thought it was really comfortable. So,
yeah. I wear my saddle now for every, I use my saddle as my safety harness and I sit down, I'll stand up, I'll lean against the tree. If, you know, I had some knee issues this season. And so being able to just like maybe lean back on it every once in a while, I'm just a broken human being. So the thing I like about the saddle and like using a saddle with a tree stand is the ability to like just lean back and take a little pressure off your back sometimes so you're not so hunched forward. I didn't have any back issues this year, but I had some knee, like my knees are junk, my leg, my hip, my right hip is junk. And so I was just like really trying to stay comfortable in a lot of these different, you know, sits, especially in the this time of year, putting a lot of time in the tree stand. And so, I mean, there were days where I was, you know, there's one day in particular. Now I don't hunt all day, but I do hunt like, what I'll do is I'll hunt in a stand, a morning stand for like 5 hours, right? From like, from morning till 11 or sometimes even 12.
Right.
The latest I sat in one stand was 12. And then I got down, I walked across this pasture, I dropped down into a creek, came up to an older set that I had with a platform, and I had my saddle on me. So I saddled up in that platform. I sat there for about about 2 hours. And then at two, I got down and I went to another like afternoon set on this farm. And so I hunted all day, but I didn't like hunt in the same spot all day.
Yeah.
And so the reason I wanted to have this conversation is because I really do feel that the original Lone Wolf, that's what I have, the Lone Wolf Assault, right? I have like 20 of them. Okay. And then I have like 20 sets of four sticks. I might even have more sticks than that. But that's what I have used for 20 years. Excuse me. That's what I've used for 20 years. And that's how that dude, I could set that up in like 5 minutes in my prime. Like I can't do it with my knee anymore, but you throw a lineman's belt on, stick, stand, screw in sticks, boom, you're set up. Perfect. That stand allows you to be adjustable on the tree. So if the tree's leaning one way or the other, you can really get the stand level. The XOPs do that. I'm trying to think. Obviously, the Lone Wolf Custom Gear stuff does that. The Beast sticks, I believe, do that.
Yeah.
But the Beast stands do that. But a lot of these other stands, you got to kind of have a straight tree.
Yeah.
For that. Okay. Yep. And so I'm sitting in this assault and getting in there is great, man. It's just a, it's great. I love it for being mobile. I had to set one up on a run and gun one or two times this season, and it was great. However, sitting in that thing now these days is just a little bit tighter. The seat is smaller, and it's designed for like the hang and hunt approach, right?
Yeah.
And so then later in that summit, they sent me a tree stand, two years ago, and it just sat in my garage and I didn't even use it, right? And I'm like, well, I have this thing. If I do decide to sit, like have an all day sit or want to get in somewhere to a pre-hung set, this August I went in and set it up. And I climbed in for the first time. I climbed into that assault, or excuse me, into that summit tree stand, bigger platform. It is not user friendly. Here's what I'll say. It's not a run and gun stand. Okay. However, once you get up in it and you ratchet it down, so like it's kind of loud setting up. You got to have a lineman's belt on to lean back and use both hands. But once I sat in that son of a gun, dude, oh my God, I have not sat in a stand that comfortable since I sat in a ladder stand like 7 years ago for when I was down in Kansas last year, I sat in a couple ladder stands where I was able to like really lean back and just kind of relax. I'm getting to an age now where I feel like I'm going to start putting more energy and effort into locating good spots for pre-hung tree stands, and I'm just not going to be able to be as mobile on the properties that I have simply because my right knee is garbage.
Yeah.
Right. And so the other thing about that is I love the Lone Wolf sticks. They have served me perfectly. Their footsteps are small. The originals are, right? The XOPs, they're a little bit wider and bigger, and they got that hook on the end of the step, so where your boot kind of won't slip off if it's wet. And I've been looking at a couple other sticks where instead of just flipping it to one side, it has two. So even with guys who, let's say like me, have a bad knee, I can really like left leg step up, then left leg step up again.
And
have two step options, which I feel not only is it going to make it easier for myself, but for if I want to get a kid in the tree as well.
You know, safer.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Safer.
Yep,
yeah.
It's safer. Yep.
So, dude, I don't know, man. It's just I sat in that summit and I know like one of my dreams is to buy one of those big, I think they're called like an M350 from Millennium that has like the chair in the back of it.
Yep.
Like, dude, I want to buy one of those and get one of those set up on this farm that I was hunting so bad so I can like if I'm comfortable and I could just sit there, pack my lunch, I'll sit there. I would sit in that all day.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Me personally, I think it's kind of like a bell curve for me because like when I first started, you know, it was you bought what was cheap, you know. Yeah. So what was cheap then was like I would buy some ladder stands, you know, and there were, the comfort was great. But then a cost factor came in. So then it was like, well, I'm just going to buy some climbers, you know. So I had two climbers at one point, you know, bought a metal one. Then I bought an aluminum one. The aluminum one was lighter. But then if you want to hunt public ground, that becomes sometimes an issue because you can't cut branches. You got to have a straight tree and everything. But comfort-wise, they were amazing. Well, then you transition into becoming more of a mobile hunter. So then you're going up this path of the mobile. And it's not that you lose comfort. It's just that you might not be able to sit as long. You know, your platform might be smaller. Your seat might be smaller. And then as you come back down on that curve, you know, you're starting to get back into, you know, a bigger platform, a bigger seat, or maybe a ladder stand. I mean, we've got a couple buddy stands that, you know, the seat, it's a double seat, but it's perfect for one guy, you know, because you have so much room. And so comfort's, I mean, there's something to be said about that, especially as we go into like a late season where you have more gear on. You're already uncomfortable because you might be cold, you know, so comfort, I would say, is a huge thing.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at, I can remember when I first started hunting by myself and spending my own money. I went to do you guys have Farm Kings in Illinois?
It's Farm and Fleet is what it is.
Farm and Fleet, yeah. So there was a store. I don't even know if they're around. They might have been absorbed by one of those other companies, but it was called Farm King. It was a farm store. And they were selling tree stands at the time for $60.
Yep.
And that was, shit, 20 years ago. And I bought a whole bunch of them. And I don't use them anymore. They actually sit at my mom's house right against one of her, like, outbuildings. And they're kind of spread out on, like, my stepdad has used them. And I'm just like, dude, I think maybe I'm going to go grab some of those and go set those up on some of these farms, and just ease of use to get in. And I honestly don't think that deer, once you put them in there, just like rolling some kind of giant box blind into a field, they'll just get used to it.
They do. They get,
you know
used
what I mean?
To it. Yeah, they get used to it.
For some reason, I had it in my head like, oh, these ladder stands are, they're just an eyesore and the deer will avoid them.
Right.
But they only avoid them if there's the pressure. Right. And so I'm looking online right now, and you can buy a ladder stand for, I mean, anywhere from $100 at Farm and Fleet, like what we talked, to, you know, and I'm sure there's some higher end ones, like there's one here for $350. And that's like a double person ladder stand. Here's a muddy double drop time two man ladder stand, for $200. Right, here's another double from River's Edge for $320, something like that. But as far as comfort is concerned, I'm getting to a point where I want comfort.
Yeah.
So the run and gun days for me are still there. I just have to take care of my knee and get my shots and stuff like that. But at the same time, the hang on stands as well. I actually, check this story out. I had one of my wife's friends. We're both sick, by the way.
Oh man. I'm gonna have to get a drink here.
That's fine. I'll just finish this story while you're going and getting it. But I ended up, this is unfortunate, but one of my wife's friends was, her dad was in hospice from cancer. And I went to, they called me up and it's like, hey, my dad has cancer. All of his, hunting stuff is for sale. We're doing an estate sale. Would you like to buy it? And I go, yeah, you know, I already have a ton of stuff, but just to humor the guy, I said I'd take a look at it. And there was all of these metal strap-on sticks. They're not like, they're like double beamed, double branches. Yep. They're really robust. They're not packable, right? So it's one of those things where it would just be pull the truck up to the timber, unload it. It's a pre-thought out deal.
Yeah.
And you got to have ratchet straps for them, whatever. Well, anyway, I think I bought them, a whole bunch of them, from this guy, right? And I'm like, man.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel, because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
I'll take them. I'll take them. I think I got like eight or 12 of these sets of sticks for like $100. I just was like, what do you want for him? He's like, I don't know. What do you think they're worth? He didn't really care. He's like, he didn't even want to charge me for them. And I said, well, just pay me what you can pay me. And I go, ah, dude, I'll give you $100 for all this stuff. So I think I gave him $100 or something like that. And so now I got all these sitting in my garage that I think this year I'll hang up in places where I can get a little bit more like comfort climbing up, and then that would lead to like a summit, or that would lead to what is the old platforms, the old big platforms? Those are the
Bigfoot or River's Edge?
It's not the Assault, the Alpha.
Yep.
The Lone Wolf Alpha has the bigger platforms on it, like one of those. So What's your take on tree stands, man?
You know, some of it is just price point. I mean, what are you getting, you know, and are you getting kids involved? You know, like this year I had to buy another buddy stand because three of the kids are wanting to hunt. So it was kind of price point. What can you afford? How far can you go with it? You know, we have a box blind that the kids can use too. So that's a comfort thing. That's also a noise thing and allowing the kids to sit. I think for me, I'm going in the same direction you are, you know? So for me, I want the comfort, but I also want it to be safe for the kids, you know? So for sticks and everything like that, I've got a bunch, like you were just saying, you bought a bunch of those sticks. I probably have a 10, 12 of them too, to where I could go set those up with, you know, match them up with a nice platform stand or a nice seat stand, you know, and be comfortable for a while. And then if I was taking a kid, I'd feel comfortable with them sitting in that stand, and then I could take my saddle and sit above them, or we'd put two stands up. So the days of me taking a climber and strapping it to my back are probably about done, but I will be, you know, I will be doing my mobile sits still, but it's, I'm not going to sit all day in a mobile stand anymore. It's just the body can't take as much as it used to. So.
Yeah. And meanwhile, there's some 20-year-olds calling us pussies, right? Yep. Like, you pussy, you can't do it no more, you know? And I think a lot of that plays into my strategy and what my goals are every single year. And like, I'm not, like we talked about earlier this year, I'm not after the, like, I'm not going to spend the time breaking down ground like I used to. This is for fun now and trying to get the kids involved. So
it's, and then for me, it's not about, well, you know, you can't do it. I can do it. It's just, I am choosing not to, because life's a little bit easier if I choose not to. So
And I'm getting the same results on pre-hung stands and things like that too. So anything on sticks? Like, I think I'm gonna look at if I decide, I mean, I have a lot of stuff already, so if I am gonna be looking at anything in the future here, it's gonna be probably like some XOP sticks. They have the bigger footstep for mobile. I like that. Maybe a ladder stand for a buddy, some kind of two-man ladder stand for the kids. I think that's going to be an option. And then one thing that I have to do is, if I'm going to go off the ground with my kids, I got to find a kid-sized safety harness.
Yeah.
And so those are a couple things that I'm going to need to look into over the next handful of, you know, between now and, I don't know. I got to look at the rules of what I can do with my son the rest of the season as far as filling tags.
Yeah.
And if he can be a trigger puller on some of that stuff. But if I'm going to get him off the ground, he's definitely got to be in a safety harness. So
yeah,
I got to think about stuff like that.
I mean, since we were talking about tree stands, I mean, let's not forget about ground blinds too. I mean,
you know,
the use of ground blinds, sometimes I think it gets overlooked. You know, they can really be a great thing, especially for kids, but also, you know, you get into this late season, especially if it's a gun season, you could always throw a little buddy heater in there with you, you know, in the comfort of a stool or whatever, and be warm and be able to sit and fill a tag too. So I would make sure that my suggestions with the ground blind would be, get one that has quiet windows, you know, make sure that it's big enough so you can draw a bow to shoot, or if you're going to have two people in there that you can see around you, and then make sure that it has some tie down points on it, and then places to put branches, like little pockets on the outside, so you can blend it in with your surroundings. But I wouldn't forget about a ground blind, because there's definitely applications for them. So
I think, and that's something that I like, I had a really good ground blind that I had for several years. I took pretty good care of it. And then a windstorm came through one turkey season while I had it up, snapped some poles.
Yep.
Okay. With that said, I've always wanted one of those hay bale blinds. I'm going to look that up.
Yep. Same. They're pretty, pretty cool.
Do you have one?
No, I don't. I was always going to make one. Just because I have several fields where it would sit awesome, and I could probably talk a couple of the farmers into leaving real round bales out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have like a handful of different versions. I can't remember which one I used to film in one.
Was it a redneck?
Could have been a redneck, could have been a muddy. They have a blackout hay bale blind. I think the one that I had was a redneck blind.
Yeah.
Because it looked real. It had the straw actually in the wrap of it.
Yep.
And so I have a place where I feel like I should put one of those, and it would be killer if I could figure out how to do it. And because these deer come out of this little point in a mowed pasture, so it's a really hard transition. It goes from really short grass to big timber, and so I'm trying to figure out how, you know, where to put something like that. And I feel like let's see what one of those costs.
$400 or $500.
$500 for like kind of an average one.
Yep.
But
that's what I thought.
Yeah, for an average one. But I don't. The one that I want has, it looks real. It looks like it's got the straw and the hay in it. But yep. A lot of these are, you know, a lot of these are on sale right now. So, you know, actually, that's a great point. A lot of hunting gear and equipment this time of year is on sale.
Yeah.
I know that one of the brands that we use, Code Blue Sense, their stuff is really, they throw a lot of sales out throughout the year, brands like that, and look for like Black Friday sales coming up and, but hay bale blinds. Yes. I want a hay bale blind, and I have the perfect place to put it. And it could possibly be for like a gun hunt. So yeah. I just want to make sure that, I don't know.
And the thing with those hay bale blinds, I mean, they're great for fence line hunter. They're great for a field edge hunter. They're great for a spot in an open field, especially like I was saying earlier, if you can talk the farmer into leaving a couple bales. I mean, we got farmers that, you know, they make stock bales, or it's not just in a hay field. So it could be in a cornfield where they've made stock bales. And if you arrange it just right, you could blend that thing right in just to look like another bale in the field. And maybe potentially shoot, you know, an awesome deer out of it. So,
right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it gives you a different perspective of the field or where you're sitting too. So,
yeah. Do you like hunting in ground blinds?
Yes and no. So we've got a redneck, box blind, and yeah, we can fit me and two of the kids in it at a time. Mm-hmm. The one thing I can say I don't like is the windows, they stick, they get noisy. You know, you put Vaseline on them, they still tend to stick. But as far as like, man, we can stay warm. I feel like our wind isn't near as bad in there. Obviously, they still do smell you to some degree, but and it's elevated. It's up on mm-hmm. a platform, but you cannot see complete. You know, that's always the biggest thing drawback from a ground blind or an elevated box blind is you cannot, there's always like a blind spot. And yeah, that's the only thing I can say that I don't like. And then sometimes it seems like no matter how much you spend on a chair, some of the chairs are very noisy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can't sit on a bucket because no. I think you need to be a little bit higher than what a 5 gallon bucket would be in. And so you can't necessarily, I mean, you could, if you're gun hunting, you can really do anything. You put yourself in the right distance from things.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think one of these hay bale blinds is going to be in my future. That's all
yeah.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
About that.
I've thought about it for probably 10 years and still haven't pulled the trigger on it. So.
Right. Right. Okay. We talked about stands. We talked about stands, we talked about sticks, we talked about blinds. Is there anything else that you want to, like, what else?
I'm going to kind of go back to my hunt last week, and yeah, and I'm going to throw in just a couple things maybe that people could look into. You know, I had gotten a deer sled last year, one of those big yep. black deer sleds. And my goal for it wasn't even to drag a deer out necessarily, but it was to drag my decoys or gear in. Yep. And obviously you have to have the perfect situation, you know, cause you don't want to make too much noise dragging something across the field and everything, but I was able to pull it off and put two decoys in there. I think decoying is still in the works right now, you know, especially yeah. with these cruising bucks, you know, so gear wise, maybe that's something that you can look at. Maybe they're on sale right now. I will touch base. I didn't yesterday in our podcast, but with Code Blue Sense, you know, when I had my buck and doe decoys both out there, I had a doe and estrus scent on her, and then I had a buck urine on him. And so, I mean, maybe that's something still this later part of the rut that you could be using. Gear-wise, obviously, the colder it gets, you want to be making sure that you're checking everything over because stuff will freeze up on you, especially if you're using, you know, fall-away rest and you happen to sit in a rain or something like that. Those things will freeze up. So just taking care of your gear is huge.
Yeah. And that is, that's important. I want to talk about decoys a second. What brand of decoy do you use?
So I had one of the original Carry Light decoys. Carry Light. And they don't make them anymore. They used to collapse down and fit basically into the body. And the last thing you put in was the head, and they had an orange cinch type bag. Carry Light doesn't make them, I don't even know if they're in business or not. But I had taken that Carry Light and I had shot a buck off of some decoys. And then I had the hide tanned and everything. And then I made a lifelike decoy out of my Carry Light.
Yeah.
And then I have
Is that called the Easy Buck? Was it the Carry Light Easy Buck that you had?
It might have been. Yeah. That might be it. Do they still have it?
I don't know. I don't know if they have it or not.
There's one that was real similar to the Easy Buck, and I think Primo's made it, and it was a Scarface, I believe, is what that one was called. But my doe is a Flambeau, I think. Boss Babe, I think is what that one is.
Yep.
And that's real light. It all packs together inside of it. The one thing I will say is err on the side of caution with the plastic and how noisy it is. Mm-hmm. So if at all you can, you know, assemble part of it or all of it and get it in there, which is what I did. Keep in mind, I assembled everything at the truck, put it in the sled, and I drug it to where I was going because 25 years of decoying, I found that, man, setting that stuff up at your tree, you can be so loud. It takes so much longer. And then carrying that stuff in is, first off, it's unsafe, especially I would never recommend using a decoy during gun season unless you can put that decoy out there before gun season and then set that decoy in a safe direction from you.
Yeah.
And not be around any other neighboring gun hunters. But carrying that stuff in is a chore, and you can sweat a lot, make a lot of noise. So find something that works for you. And hey, maybe the sled deal is going to be, you know, a staple of what I do for when I decoy, but
yeah. That would be, I don't know, man. I feel like it would be fun. I see the videos on the internet about, you know, a big buck coming in and crashing into the decoy and then guys having to get down and pick it back up and put it together. How does your decoy, do you just set it up and leave it, or do you have to stake it into the ground?
So the Carry Light one, I had to change it a little bit because obviously adding that weight of the hide and everything and gluing and stapling and all that on. And I had actually bought a shoulder, it was a neck mount head and taxidermied the head on and everything. And then I put magnets for the antlers and stuff, but I had to weld a T-handle. They stick it in the ground, and then in the middle of his body, I had put a tube, so I set him down on that, and I can turn him in any direction. It's not just, you know, pinned down on his feet, on his hooves. The Boss Babe, I think it's like tent stakes, those little cheap metal tent stakes is all you put on the hooves of them, on the back of the hooves.
Gotcha.
So I've found that, you know, obviously the harder the ground gets, those tent stakes, we all know, bend and everything like that. So that's where this, I think it's a 3/8 metal rod is what I use to make that T handle out of.
Yeah.
And it's fairly light. So,
you know, it would be cool. You know, some of those turkey decoys that sit on almost like I don't know what it is. It's like some kind of ball joint, or it's not even a ball joint. You just set it up and it rotates with the wind a little bit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It gives a little bit of motion into it. That would be badass if they could have a deer version of that where it just slightly moves a little bit in the wind. But my luck, it'd be a windy day and it'd just be that here's this decoy just spinning in circles like the Tasmanian devil.
So I think actually Reinhardt, they made it's one dimensional or two dimensional. I don't remember how that works, and they pivoted. They made deer and they made coyotes and stuff, and they were pretty cool. I decoyed a couple bucks in on one of those. So, But mine now, the one I taxidermied, the head, you can actually, it turns in the wind.
Okay.
So
that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's just a little collar on it, slide the head down, and it'll just gently move in the wind. So,
yeah. And then there's the other versions like Montana Decoy, which would be great for spot and stalk type of hunting if you're into that. I know we're talking about like Midwestern tree stands and hunting and what we've done in the rut so far this year. But going out west, I could definitely see an application where like a pop-up tent style, fabric style decoy. I mean, those guys at who are those crazy guys who drive around the country, hunt public land.
Whitetail Adrenaline?
Yeah. I can't believe I didn't know that. I know those guys.
Yeah.
And so the Whitetail Adrenaline guys, they have kind of like a homemade decoy that they've made.
And they just like hold it up and it's like a shoulder mount basically that they hold in front of them.
Yep.
That's pretty
and
cool.
They get close to giants. Have you seen any of those videos?
Oh, yeah. I love watching their stuff. I think it's pretty amazing.
Yep. All right. Decoys, what else? If you don't have anything, I got something I want to talk about.
You can go ahead. I'll think about mine.
All right. Ozone. Ozonics.
Yep.
Man, I had so many deer downwind to me this year that just didn't blow. And I'm not going to say all of them didn't get spooked. There was a couple where I didn't have it set up right, or the thermals and the wind were kind of colliding, but I would say 90% of the time, especially on a dumb young buck who's in there looking for a doe, it works. On an alert, like just deer putting their nose up, they can smell the ozonics, but they're not smelling you. And maybe they either work through, or maybe they kind of get nervous a little bit and walk away. Man, ozone.
Mm-hmm.
That, and not that ionized shit, not the ion thing. It's literal ozone from ozonics. That thing is special.
Yeah.
And I don't like, I'm not a guy who, I'm not a scent freak. Like when I got back into the hotel room or back into the camper, this year when I was doing my rut vacation, took my clothes off, threw it in a pile in the corner of the room, put it back on the next morning, walked out. Maybe a little nose jammer on before the hunt, but put an ozonics in the tree, blow it downwind to me. And dude, I'm telling you, there's something about it. I can't really, I'm not the scientist guy. I just know that I've had great success with it. Is it expensive? Let's go look. Ozonics, how much did they cost? It's going to be expensive. I know it is.
Yeah, $400.
Yeah, if that might be the cheaper version.
Yeah.
Delete. Okay. O-Z-O-N-I-C-S. Ozonics. Ozone generators. Okay. So where, let's go to, I don't even know. They got like a pack right now for $630. They have everything you need, which is kind of badass. That would include the closet you can hang it in, a little pack you can keep it in, $250 off the HR 600. So right now it was $700, and there's an app to the phone. I don't really care about that. But it is, and it has like little lights that you can like hang it up and then shine down on top of you so you can get ready in the dark. I don't know, but I've been using one of those since they originally came out, and it was about the size of a VCR. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is this? And I started using that. Holy shit, dude. I'm telling you, there's something about it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's something about it. It's on sale now for $450. And the HR 600, and that's their newest model. Now, what I would do is I would go in and see what other, let's see, the HR 500. Let's see. That is $350. So the other versions, you might be able to find other versions online, like on for sale or something like that. But it only looks like they're selling the HR. Oh, let's go all the way back to an HR 230. An HR 230 is $300. It looks like it's sold out. Let's do one more here. The HR 300. That's the one I have. Well, I have like one of all of them because they sent them to me. Here's one for $250. And so I'm telling you, man, something about it. And it just kind of, I feel it works. So I bring one in the tree with me.
So I'll give my scent spiel here because I'm a lot like, I think you to some degree, like I'm not a scent freak, but I do wash my stuff in, now it's Code Blue detergents and stuff. Yeah. And then I do use nose jammer on my boots, especially every once in a while, I'll put it on my bino harness. I don't take a bath in it though. Just enough. And then when I'm in the tree and sometimes on my way to the tree, I'll use the stick Evercalm. And that whole regimen right there seems to be very beneficial. The only time I use like an Ozonix is in my vehicle, I use it. And then I have it in my duffel bag, my backpack.
Yep.
And that's where all my gear is. And then it basically generates that bag. And then that's what I put on. And so just like last week when I was out, I had a southwest wind. I had 5 different bucks that came out to the north of me and a big mature doe that was north of me in a scrape. And they were literally 5 to 10 yards, right. 20 yards. And they were downwind of me and those deer were not smelling me. So I kind of looked at scent as you have 3 options. Like you can use an ozone generator in a tree. You can mask your scent with something like Evercalm or something like nose jammer, or you can try to smell like your surroundings. And yeah, that's kind of my 3 things that I kind of put together. And years ago, we used to gather acorns, apples, pine needles, pine cones, whatever, and we would dump them in water, boil the water, and then we'd siphon all the stuff out and put it in spray bottles, and we would just basically smell like the woods. Yeah. And that's what we would spray it on. And we had success with that. So, I mean, there's many ways that you can go about it, but I do think there is definitely something to ozone in collaboration with other stuff as well. The one thing that I took away from a podcast that you had earlier this year was a guy talking about how he's learning how to breathe through in and out of his nose only. And it makes 100% sense when 75% of our scent comes from our mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. No, it was the guy, there was one dude who was talked about, he didn't eat meat.
Yeah.
He didn't eat meat the whole month or during the hunting season, the month before and during the hunting season. Because if you eat meat, you smell like a predator. If you smell like a predator, the deer won't want to be around you. So I'm like, that makes sense, dude.
Yeah.
So the other thing is the old wives' tale or the old timers, they say how they smoked they'd burn a whole bunch of leaves.
Yep.
And they would put that, dude, I was at a campfire for, you know, the first week of the rut. Yep. And I stood in front of the campfire. I think what it really comes down to is as long as you don't smell like a threat, if you smell like campfire, if you smell like vanilla, if you smell like ozone or diesel or oil or sawdust, whatever it is, you smell less like a human. And I think if you smell less like a human, that's the thing that matters.
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. You did your scent thing. What else? Anything else?
Well, I would say like right now, especially going into the latter part of the season, I would definitely just be checking up on, you know, do I have hand warmers, toe warmers? Do I have like those Arctic Shield boot covers? Mm-hmm. Do I have a hand muff to keep my hands warm?
Layering
properly too, just because, you know, you can sweat on your way to the stand and what's the point in that, you know? So knowing how to generate your body's heat on the way and on the way back, getting in a routine of, you know, at the truck in the morning or in the afternoon of packing your stuff. So that way you can get into the truck and get
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Warm when you're done hunting is kind of crucial too, because it does take a toll on you. The later in the season it gets, it is a chore to get all that stuff off, to get back into the truck and get warmed up. So
right, yeah, dude, makes a lot of sense. I think this is good enough for today. All right, I appreciate you hopping on and BSing with us a little bit about your year so far. If you ever want to come on again and talk gear, let me know. Outside of that, Jason, man, really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review on the Hunting Gear Podcast. I will be putting more gear, Hunting Gear Podcast content out now that I'm done with the season I'll be home more. Let's just say that. And more people are starting to get back into the office from some of these companies. But good luck the rest of the season, everybody. If you have any gear questions, hit me up on the Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram page. I love to have gear conversations, like a DM or whatever. Let me know. Make sure you check out the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network at sportsmansempire.com. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.